I saw a sign in an office recently that inspired me. I thought I might put it up on the marquee out there, but y'all tell me what you think. It says, "Please excuse our mess. Usually it's much worse." The only thing is, if you drove up this morning and saw the construction, this is the worst that it's. I don't know where they got all that extra concrete that they just dumped out in the middle every time we think we come out here. So we have called and tried to make connections, and they're not shooting the latest Terminator sequel in front of our building, as far as we know. It kind of looks that way, but I don't know. We're here. God will be praised, the sacraments will be served, and that's what matters. So here we are. I don't know if you've ever heard this admittedly little cheesy but profound saying nonetheless. Yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. The focus of what we are about to hear from God's Word is giving thanks for what God has done and trusting in what God is doing. Nothing else matters beyond that. And so hear now from the Word of the Lord, Psalm 67, and if you'd like, let your heart sing along. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known upon the earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere the Lord. We, as the body of Christ that meets in this place, this outpost of the kingdom of heaven, we have one primary calling. And it's found in this particular psalm, tucked right in the middle of the book of the Psalms. You may recognize the opening line that we read that reflects the original blessing, the same blessing that we'll read at the end of this worship service that we've read for most of the end of the worship services this summer. But have you ever wondered why? Why do we ask God, and why do we say to one another that God may be gracious to you, that God may make God's face shine upon you? Why do we do that? Why is that a part of what we do? Why do we say to one another that God may be gracious to you, Samira? That God's face shine upon you, Shirley? God may be gracious to you, Dwayne. God's face shine upon you, Lindsay. God may be gracious to you, Rod. God's face shine upon you, Martha Jo. You ever wondered why we're called to say those kinds of things? Now, in the very name of Jesus, by the power of the living God, it's because of verse 2. Everything you and I and we need to go into our week together, in all the things that we do, is right there in verses 1 and 2. May God bless you with the grace of God, full of grace, and an abundant life full of graciousness, so that, verse 2, that the way of God may be known upon the earth, the saving power of God among all nations. In other words, among all people. This is our calling. This is who we are. This is who we are supposed to be. Not just what we do, this is who we are. Then we can take great joy that we carry out this calling together as the body of Christ in this place. May God's face shine on you so that, verse 2, that the way of God may be known upon the earth, the saving power of God among all nations. In other words, among all people. This is our calling. And we can take great joy carrying out this calling together in Christ in this place. And then the rest of the psalm, up to the very last line, is our reaction now. Now that we know this and live by this and accept this as our calling. You see that? It's like two little songs within the song. Right after that opening that says, this is who we are, you have these two little songs. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Little song within the song. And then the other little song within the song, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. And then the very last line asks for one more blessing. And we know why. It's because we know we have work to do, but we also are called to be the people of God for a world that right now is so desperately searching for life, and meaning, and love, and purpose. A long time ago, what feels like a galaxy far, far away, I decided that God was calling me to be a preacher. And that calling long ago and far away was very specific to my 17 and 18-year-old mind, my late adolescent understanding, and the calling was as clear as I think anything I've ever experienced in my life. And just like Psalm 67, verse 2, it was extremely specific. Go tell the story that changed your life and shaped your life. That's it. That's all I've ever wanted to do. For over 30 years, I've been a preacher preaching in preaching places, mainly churches. So many joys, so many disappointments. But through it all, I believe with all my heart that the story that changed my life and probably changed yours as well is a story worth telling, no matter what. And telling that story is our calling, so that the way of God may be known upon the earth, so that the saving power of God may be known to all people. 13 years ago, I came to you, and you were in some doubt. So-called church consultants told you that you were not worth the story anymore, that you basically would be better off to leave and go somewhere else. Well, I showed up on your doorstep and said, nope, they are wrong, and that you are worth the story we tell because of the worth that God affords us in Jesus. Along the way, during those 13 years, we have faced many joys and many disappointments, happinesses and sorrows. The worst 1-2 punch I think we could have possibly faced was going through Hurricane Harvey and then suddenly turning around and COVID showed up. In many ways, those things separated us. In many ways, they eroded the self-esteem that we worked so hard to get back. So I'm going to stand before you post-sabbatical to tell you that I'm recommitting to what I did 13 years ago. That somehow, some way, during these two major events, I think that we've lost focus. I think that we've gotten focused on things and ideas, and we need to replace it with what we need to focus on. We need to swing all of our focus to telling the story that changed our lives and that continues to change our lives. That has to be our primary focus. Amen. And telling that story is our calling, so that the way of God may be known upon all the earth, so that the saving power of God may be known by all people, everybody. Because past and present, God's face is shining on us. Thus our faces shine and are made completely whole by the living God. And we need to make that life-giving story the calling that drives us every day, everything that we do. I was reminded by a good friend lately of a quote that I quote often, but every time I hear it, it's like I'm hearing it again for the first time, because I've loved it so much and it's guided my life in so many ways. We can only see as far as the headlights, but we can make the whole trip that way. And as we live out this calling, and as we live, to quote Psalm 67's last line, may God continue to bless us, and let all the ends of the earth revere the Lord. Amen.